But I think we are joined by Mr. Hardy Williams. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, I'm really glad to be talking to you, and I have to say I agree with the Los Angeles Times feature article about you on September the 1st. They said that long before Kaepernick sat, a Los Angeles teacher stood up to authority in anthem protest. And you did this in 1985. You were a high school coach, Los Angeles High School, big school. And by the way, you did it somewhat in the manner of Kaepernick. You had somebody noticed that you were doing it in just the way that Mr. Kaepernick was doing privately what he felt he, in all conscience, he had to do. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I did that in 1985, but actually, I was doing it long before 1985. I was doing it in the 70s. It just happened in 1985. It's when the principal, this particular principal, which I still teach at LA High right now. I'm here right now as we're speaking.
Uh-huh.
This particular principal, I didn't try to, I wasn't trying to make it noticeable or anything like this. They would play the national anthem, and I would just turn my back. And other principals prior to Mr. DeSantis getting here did not say anything to me. But to my understanding, I think he was a retired major in the armed forces. And so, therefore, he did not like what I was doing. And that was the first time that I was brought up for it or written mm-hmm. up for it. But I had been doing it years before that.
Yeah. By the way, you taught the Los Angeles school system, and you taught all of California about people's rights. What did you do? You went to a lawyer, and it turned into a really interesting, I think, legal accomplishment. Tell us about that process.
Okay, well, in the LA Unified, Los Angeles Unified School District, anything extracurricular, like a coach, a speech and debate coach, band director, anything like that, at the principal's discretion, they can fire an individual. They cannot touch my teaching job, but since I was a coach, that was extracurricular, so that he had the perfect right to do that. So, I mean, you have no repercussions. I mean, there are repercussions, but you have no say in the matter. Say, for example, if he didn't like the way I tied my shoes,
uh-huh.
he could have dismissed me for that.
And he chose the wrong weapon.
yes, I think he did. I mean, that's something that meant very dearly to me. At the time, I was teaching both history and physical education. My major in college was physical education and history. And history is something that's very dear to me, just like coaching is very dear to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when he brought this forth, my attorney is Theodore Egan, and he's one of my best friends. We went to the same high school, Darcy High School, here in the city of L.A., and we grew up together. So when I saw this was probably going to transpire, it hadn't happened yet, but I notified him. I said, I think you're going to release me from my coaching duties. And they said, okay, Hardy, we'll wait, till if that's the case, till it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's actually what happened yeah. right there.
And you ended up, you had to go around several rounds of fighting legal encounters, but you did. They decided, the judges, they dismissed it, right? And you ended up with damages. They paid you damages.
Well, yes. What I tried to do, because I still wanted to coach, so I tried to, get an injunction that would allow me to coach until the trial date mm-hmm. came up. And so when the trial date came up right there, well, it was in the injunction, but I was trying to do, like you say, but he denied the injunction. So that meant I could not coach uh-huh. until, the court case came up. And so until that time, I just scouted. I just went and I was scouting for LA High, mm-hmm. who our next opponent would be. But I couldn't coach him. So therefore, after we did go to the trial, I never forget the judge, Judge Cole. He was one of the more conservative judges on the bench, and he turns his back to the flag. I do not like it one bit. And he said, but that's his constitutional right. And then he asked my attorney for, again, what do you want for your client? And so we went round and round right there, and they offered me. I wasn't interested in the money. Uh-huh. It was just the principle of the matter. And he offered, they made a couple of offers. I denied those. And I told my attorney, I don't care about the money. That's not important to me. It's just the principle. It's the principle. And so uh-huh. I said, look, I want a formal apology from the principal. And I want my job reinstated. So therefore, after that occurred, the L.A. Unified, they were going to take it to appeals court. So we all met with the appeals court justice, and the appeals court justice told the school district that if I were you guys, I would settle with Mr. Williams because this hasn't happened before with said president, and you need to settle with him. That is, if I were you, I would do that. And then they eventually gave a dollar figure, and I accepted. I really didn't want to accept it then, but my attorney, and then I talked to my mother. My father had already been deceased, but my mother was now 99. I asked her and some of my brothers and sisters. They said, well, look, you should go ahead and take it because who knows, you could lose the appeal. Yeah. So I went ahead and I took the damages. And then it was part of the settlement. It was that I received a formal apology from the principal, and I could not speak on the matter for 2 years.
Well, it's been 30 years or more, and you.
Yeah, 31 years.
And right.
I had no idea if this was going to take. But I didn't want to. I wasn't trying to cause any fanfare or anything like this. And 31 years later, I had no idea this was going to come up. But yeah. I was so glad when Mr. Kaepernick did that. How that occurred, I was at the 49ers had played a preseason game that Friday night. And so that Saturday morning, approximately about 8 a.m., I had gone to get my car serviced. And while I was in the office waiting for my car to be serviced, one of my brothers, he called me on the phone, and he said, did you hear what Kaepernick did? And he just said, I said, no, what did he do? He said he refused to stand for the anthem. And so I said, oh, God, he did? And so I said, God, he's my favorite player right now. And so when I did that, I know some of the people, because I was so elated, some of the people in the room, in the waiting room where I was, they kind of looked at me because I was kind of making a lot of noise.
Well, I got to agree with you. I had exact same reaction. Let's talk about what caused this. Why did you take that stand, and how do you feel about this issue today? Kaepernick is protesting racial oppression and violence against unarmed black youth, et cetera. How do you feel about that?
That's a very, very good question. If you look at the Star Spangled Banner, written by Francis Scott Key, first of all, Francis Scott Key is father-in-law owned Frederick Douglass. So, I mean, he's like a slave owner.
Oh, boy.
And they actually, today, you can look it up online. The Star Spangled Banner, when it's played, they don't say the complete Star Spangled Banner. Verses, like the third and fourth verses, left off purposely. It's still there, but it's never really recited, especially at performances. I know at Muhammad Ali's funeral, an individual, he brought it up there. Like, the verses that they never say is this right here. It says, no refuge could save the hireling. That is someone that works for, you know, medial money, you know, just a small amount of money. So it says, no refuge could save the hireling and the slave from the terror of night or the gloom of the grave. Oh, say does that Star-Spangled Banner yet wait.
Yeah.
And they don't ever mention, they never say that. They never mention that. So I would think if that was known by more people.
Absolutely.
Most people don't even know that they don't even know they exist. And especially for people of color, black people, if they knew that was in the Star Spangled Banner, they wouldn't stand either.
Have been standing a long time ago.
Exactly, but that's what made it.
So you're half coach and half historian, and that historian helps out with coaching.
Oh, well, yes, like I said, I really like it because I was teaching history too at the time, and I mean, I mean I'm crazy about history, and so therefore, I already knew that, and so that, and along with the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. But it's not justice for all people. We all know that it's not justice. I mean, look, the Native Americans, they were the indigenous ones of the of this particular land. And we can see, like, how Native Americans are treated today. Not only them, Latinos, Blacks, and we all know, like, the police shootings that have been going on here recently, and well, not only recently, but forever in the United States. I can actually go back further than that. My my great grandfather on my father's side, he was lynched. My parents are from the state of Louisiana, and my great grandfather, my grandmother's father on my father's side, he was lynched. Mm-hmm. And and that's in our family history. So along with that, and just the words of the anthem and the flag, I cannot do that. I mean, the United States doesn't respect me, so why should I respect it? Yeah. That's how I feel.
Well, you know, you did that. You took the stand, and you picked. I noticed in the L.A. Times, you said, "Oh, I'm glad someone picked up the torch." And you must also be taking heart to look around the NFL and find that a lot of young men are joining in, and nobody, you know, nobody pushed them. They decided they're going to do it. Like the guy held up the fist with a glove on it, the Kansas City Chief linebacker.
Yes, I mean that. I think a lot of people think this is. I think Michael Wilburn, I think he's one of the famous columnists. He writes and he's on television. He's a famous sports columnist. And I know he said, "Oh, this is just a fad. It will go away." I mean, I doubt very seriously if it's a fad, because Kaepernick is, I mean, he's correct. I'm just so glad he actually did this. And I know one of my fellow players that I coached, his name is Kim McCloud. He was coaching. He was one of the coaches at the University of Nevada when Kaepernick was going there. Matter of fact, now he's the assistant head coach at Syracuse University. Mm-hmm. So I'm just elated that he picked up the torch and he did this, because it is something. Then I noticed that it if I'm not mistaken, I think it was a soccer match where they played their anthem, but they said, "We're going to play it, but before the players take the field, you know, only for the the audience." So things are being done, you know, to actually make a difference. I don't know if this will we have to see how it, because it's still continuing and it's picking up steam. So we just have to wait and see the outcome.
Yeah. Now there's two other aspects I want to mention there. At the time, one of the reasons you did well, I think, in that case, there were 21 faculty members from Los Angeles High School said they didn't have a problem with what you were doing.
And well, then, actually, that's... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then the second part of that is, you know, they tried to get people to gang up on Kaepernick, and they said, "Oh, you know, your teammates, what do they think?" And he said, "They don't mind." Well, so how about you? Do young people give you a hard time, or how do they feel when they read about you in the paper? What do they say?
Oh, no, I mean, teachers and students, they just give me a pat on the back. They say, "Oh, Hardy, way to go, way to go, way to go," like that. I haven't received any, to my face or that I know of personally, any negative comments. But I know I talked to Mr. Sternheimer, the one who actually wrote the article. Mm-hmm. I called him the next day, that was Saturday, and I thanked him. And he said, "Oh, Hardy, thank you very much." But he also said he was receiving a lot of nasty emails.
Yeah.
from that. But with the actually, there were more than 21 teachers on. There was about 30 teachers. It actually did it. And one surprising effect of that is that I had more Caucasian teachers that signed it than black teachers.
Well, it probably wouldn't have surprised your mother, because as you said, she thought, well, now they're going to really get on your case, and she was afraid for you.
No, that's correct. My mother,
she knows how the racial system works.
That is correct. And she's especially being born and raised in the South. I have three other siblings. We were all born and raised in Los Angeles. And my mother, coming from Louisiana, the deep South, and actually my mother is from the same place where Bunny and Clyde were killed. I mean, matter of fact, one of my great-uncles.
Rough territory.
One of my great-uncles, Bunny and Clyde picked him up once. And they just and drove him. And they said, so they asked him to get in the car, and they asked him to dance. They stopped the car and said, "We want you to do a dance for us." And my great uncle said, "I've done a lot of things in my life, but I don't dance for anybody." But they said, "We're just playing around. We're just kidding." And so they told me he could get out of the car and just have a nice day.
So
they were just joking around with me.
You know, the Williams family's been through a few things. Hardy Williams, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. I take my hat off to you. And this thing is going to keep going. And you're a major contributor. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a good day.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for those stories. We'll see you.
Bye. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Hardy Williams. We got a little music we can play, and that we think is somewhat appropriate. And then a little later, we're going to talk to Vanessa Beely.